स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त बृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू in another session of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. To have a small recap, last time we spoke about killing of Putana and how she got delivered as a maid servant of Yashoda Mai in the spiritual world of Golok Dham. So one interesting factor that I learned about Putana was her body was 12 miles long, and that would take people from reach from one end to another end in 4.5 hours. Her width was 4 miles. Interestingly, the height of the body on the ground was 2 miles. That means she was 2 miles high in the sky. So Krishna was on the breasts, which were like mountains, on the 2 miles high body. So such a gigantic personality was then cremated by the Brajvasis. So very interesting part, this Gopal Champu explains. And now, today we will read about the further things as Shaunak Muni is asking Suta Goswami. It is so wonderful to have get a chance to hear about Krishna's pastimes. And those who get chance to hear Krishna's pastimes and those who get attached to Krishna's pastimes, they will never have any attraction for the material world and the material world's activities. Srila Prabhupada says that those who are interested and attracted to the pastimes of the Lord, especially the childhood pastimes of the Lord, they can be considered as transcendental people. They can be considered as spiritual people, because only those who are transcendental and spiritual, they will be able to get attracted to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So thus Shaunak Muni is further interested in asking Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami is saying that now Parikshit Maharaj is asking further what happened. Because Parikshit Maharaj is listening from Shukadev, and that was heard by Suta Goswami also. So it is explained that Krishna was a very attractive baby, and everybody came to see with great excitement to see Krishna every day. They were excited to see the lotus navel of Krishna. His eyes were dark as lamp black. Daily their eyes were filled, the Brijvasis' eyes were filled with delight on lifting up the attractive veil on Krishna's face and touching him while smiling. He had beautiful curly locks of hair and eyes fickle like Khanjana bird. He was very restless. He had a smile playing on his face and the shining tilak of Gorochan and Kumkum, very, very attractive. This dark complexion child appeared splendid when he was 3 months old. The child looked affectionately and smiled gently at everybody who came to see him. He would move his legs and make sounds, and he would always desire to be held by people. If he was not held, he would cry, and then if held, he would laugh. Drinking milk, he would sleep and then awaken joyfully. So this was Krishna's childhood pastime. So it is not that because Shukadev Maharaj had very less time to explain all this in details, that didn't mean that all these things didn't happen. Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. How one can explain in 7 days with the mandate of Parikshit Maharaj's death? So these beautiful things were taking place, and one day the birth nakshatra of Krishna came, that is Rohini. And that when it came, the constellation, the moon was entering into Rohini nakshatra. So early morning, when moon entered the cluster of constellation called Rohini, Krishna turned on his right side. This is the first time from the position of laying on back all the time, like a baby, infant baby, he turned for the first time. This is the first milestone that he exhibited. We all know medically also that turning on sides on their own, children do it around 3 months. So this was called as Uttana. And then as soon as the maid servants informed Mother Yashoda, mother, please see, baby Krishna is turning on right side. By the time mother came, he was already on the right side. On the right Kukshi. Kukshi means on the right side. So Krishna was supposed to now turn and crawl. And he was supposed to be undergoing a bathing ceremony to start going out of the house. So as soon as Yashoda saw this, she arranged a beautiful festival on celebration of his leaving home and bathing. She called Brahmanas, she organized a festival. Nanda Maharaj gave very happily the permission to organize a festival. And then Krishna was bathed with so many herbs. Prabhupada explains that bathing children with herbal water is very auspicious. So he was bathed with so many herbs, and his bathing ceremony was attended by so many local Brijvasis, and hundreds of ladies and men were there. They were all wearing colorful dresses. So gopis smeared oil on Krishna's body, and after bathing they dressed Krishna with yellow garments and golden and diamond jewelry. So, and then Yashoda Mai put kajal on his lotus eyes. And then she wore him a necklace which is called as Chandrahar, which was actually made by tiger nails, and it was put around his neck. So Yashoda was very happy, and Brahmanas were chanting shlokas from Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharveda and other Vedas and other Vedic scriptures. Very auspicious hymns they were chanting. And it is explained that this ceremony of bathing Krishna, dressing Krishna, chanting Vedic mantras, performing yajna, it went for 1.5 praharas. That means it went on for 4.5 hours on that day from sunrise. So you can imagine by about noon time, when Yashoda was very, very busy in treating the guests and organizing the festival and looking after the kitchen, suddenly it is explained that a demon came from Kamsa's side. His name was Shakatasur. Actually, his name was Utkacha. And he was actually in a ghostly body. He was in the body of a Vayu Deha. And he thought that he was in the sky. When this ceremony was already going on for 1.5 praharas, 4.5 hours, he was standing in the sky and waiting and watching how to approach this boy. And he was thinking that Putana had changed her body into a beautiful person, and that is why she was killed. So I am not going to change, I am not going to disguise, I am going to go as I am. Anyway, he was invisible because he was a ghost. He was a Vayu Deha ghost. So how to approach, he was thinking. He was also wondering about how strong this boy must be, because he killed 12 mile long demoness, which is so powerful. She was a Khechari actually. So he was waiting. So suddenly Mother Yashoda came out of the house in the courtyard, and there was a big chakra. Chakra means bullock cart. And it was a huge cart. It was like a huge room as tall as tall palm tree. You know, palm trees are how tall? They must be at least 300, 400 feet tall. So this whole cart was that tall, very heavy, long and wide. And at another end, And at the lower side, there was a huge bed. I was just imagining how much big it must be. The bed was supposed to be like a swing. It was very gently swinging back and forth. And it was made of ivory. And the white beds on that was more brighter than kapoor, camphor, white camphor. It was more bright and shining than that, the bedstead. And it was floating. It was hanging and it was swinging. And Yashoda Mai is a Dwapar Yuga lady, so she must be definitely around 10 to 12 feet long, tall. So it is explained that Yashoda Mai fed Krishna on the breast, slept next to Krishna on that particular swing bed, and put Krishna to rest. And then Krishna was fully rested, and then she left for attending to the guests. Now the scene is, at the one end of the huge room-like, tall palm-like, palm-tall, palm tree-like, tall swinging bed, only Krishna was laying down. And then 5-year-old children were appointed by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and other cowherd ladies to guard the boy, to watch what's happening. And at that moment of time, when Yashoda Mai left and the boys were standing a little far, this Utkash demon called Shakatasur, he came and launched himself on this particular cart. He thought that I will break this cart in such a way so that it will fall on the head of this baby and the baby will be crushed to death. So as soon as he mounted himself on this particular cart, the cart went a lot of length inside the earth. He was Vayu form, but he was very heavy. He loaded himself and it went underground. And very soon, when everybody was very busy inside the house, the boy woke up again, feeling hungry for mother's milk. And his cries were not heard because of so much of noise and chanting. And it is explained that there were mridangas, bheris, dundubis, other instruments. All of them were being played. So Mother Yashoda could not hear the cries of the baby. So baby Krishna got little upset. So he started throwing his legs up and down. And while doing that, his beautiful lotus foot touched the spoke of the wheel of the cart. And as soon as that happened, the whole cart, which was tall as palm tree, just collapsed, making a very, very huge sound, which was like thunderbolt, which was like earthquake, which was like a destruction of a very big palace, because it was loaded with so many utensils which were already on them, on the top of the cart. The sound was so huge that Mother Yashoda and everybody came running, came running to see. In Garga Samhita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, in Bhagavatam and in Anand Vrindavan Champu, it is explained that Yashoda Mata laid down next to Krishna and he under the cart for a while till he went to sleep on white mattress. She put him on a cradle which was kept under the hand cart at the corner of the courtyard. And then same thing what Garga Samhita says is said in Gopal Champu. As I already explained to you, that the bed was on the lower end of the cart, standing on four pillars, swinging gently, and the four pillars were made of coral. They were covered with silk, red silk ribbons, and they were white mattress more bright than powdered camphor. Many colorful pieces of cloth hung from the top, and Krishna, touching this colorful cloth, was playing, looking up in the cradle. This particular cloth which were hanging, they were very pleasing to Krishna. Krishna was touching them and he was laughing. And at that time, he loaded the cart. Anyways, so the cart crumbled down to pieces and there was making tumultuous sound and everybody came running. And at that time, Yashoda came running, Nanda Maharaj came running, and they first asked the boys, that what did you see? The boy said, as a matter of fact, because they were watching everything, they said the child was hungry, Krishna was hungry, and he wanted to drink milk, and he was crying, calling, but nobody came, so he was angry, and he started throwing his legs, and that touched the wheel of the cart, which they told as a matter of fact, because they saw this. But the yoga maya was so strong that the parents, the elderly people, could not believe that. How can such a small, gentle lotus foot of my baby disturb the whole cart and break the whole cart and make it tumble down? It's difficult to believe. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the lotus feet of Krishna were like freshly formed soft leaves of a vine, of a creeper. So they were soft like leaves freshly formed on the creeper, but they were like thunderbolt for demon Utkacha. So it is explained in Gopal Champu that the boys also explained to their parents that as soon as the baby touched the spoke of the wheel of the cart flew in the sky as if it was a bird. It flew in the sky and then came crashing down on the ground, and that time all the sound came. So there are various different explanations given in Bhagavatam, Anand Vrindavan Champu, Garga Samhita and Gopal Champu. Very interesting details are given, which Shukadeva Goswami may not have given or could not have given because of time constraint. But still, it could not be believed by the children, by the elderly people. So now, immediately, Yashodamai took him on the breast. Every time when there was any calamity, what Yashodamai would do? Yashodamai would simply take him to the breast and give breast milk. That gives a lot of security. Then Yashodamai would call Brahmanas and organize yagyas and organize chanting of the Vedic hymns, and would touch the tail of the calf on various parts of bodies of Krishna, and pray to the Supreme Lord and various incarnations to save different parts of his body. And then they would sumptuously donate to the Brahmanas, and then they would perform yagyas. Similarly, at this time also, as soon as Shakata crashed, she called Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas, it is explained that they were very... Prabhupada explains in the 10th canto, 7th chapter and 13th and 14th and 15th verses that which kind of Brahmanas Yashodamai and Nanda Maharaj called. The Brahmanas were free from envy. They were truthful. They were not proud. They had no grudges in their mind. They were not disturbed by seeing the others' opulences. And they were not having any false prestige. Such Brahmanas were called, and they were chanting mantras. And then Prabhupada gives a long, long, long purport. I suggest all the viewers to read the purport of 10.7.13, 14 and 15. Where Prabhupada goes on explaining the real Brahmana, who is a real Brahmana, how it is not caste dependent, how it is guna dependent and activity dependent, and how the real Brahmana is that Brahmana who is supposed to be free from envy, is always truthful. So such truthful Brahmins were invited by Nanda Maharaj, and their blessings were sought by Nanda Maharaj for Krishna and for themselves. And then Prabhupada explains that if Sri Krishna himself was eager to have blessings of Brahmanas, what to speak of us? We all need blessings of Brahmanas. And such Brahmanas who are described over here, their blessings or curses, both are a boon. Further also we'll hear about the wonderful curse that it was given to this particular demon to become a Vayu Deha, ghostly demon. So such Brahmanas came up again, and they already had a 4.5 hours ceremony of Krishna's bathing and Krishna's turning to right side, Uttana ceremony. And they had gone, but they were again called back to perform another ceremony. So in one day, there were two Brahminical ceremonies. Again, there were mantra chanting, and there was a separate yagya was performed for doing Graha Shanti, because it is explained that as soon as the children told something, the parents did not believe. So they thought, no, it must be some ghost or some demon attacking Krishna, or it must be the bad Graha, Bala Graha, the bad planet haunting the baby. So immediately they were performing yajna. It is explained that Brahmanas brought rice, kusha grass, water and yogurt, and they worshipped the Lord after performing the yajna with Vedic hymns. They also performed yajna to do Graha Shanti, because they were thinking that Krishna must be having a bad planet haunting him. And then Prabhupada explains that when the yajna was performed, lot of prasad was cooked also. And what prasadam was cooked? Of four types, Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasadu. One was supposed to be chewed, one was supposed to be licked, one was supposed to be tested by tongue, and one was supposed to be drunk. Peya, Chosya, Charvya and Leya. Four kinds of wonderful items were made in huge quantity, and they were fed to the Brahmanas first. And Brahmanas were donated with so many cows, which were decorated with flower garlands, beautiful silken cloth, golden ornaments, and they were all with their babies, and they were fully qualified to give abundance of milk. Such cows were donated in large numbers to the Brahmanas who performed yajna second time after Shakatasura was killed. So you can see that Utkacha, it is explained that as soon as the cart crashed, at one level what happened? Suddenly the demon converted himself into a divine body of Goloka Vrindavan. And an aeroplane came from Goloka and took him back to Goloka Vrindavan. So this story is also narrated by Narad Muni to King Bahulashwa, who is Mithilesh, who is the king of Mithila. And Bahulashwa is asking Narad Muni, how is that this particular worst kind of demon turned into spiritual body and went back to Goloka Vrindavan? So at that time, Narad Muni explains that he was a son of Hiranyaksha. His name was Utkacha. He was very proud and strong. He was very beautiful, handsome and very chivalrous. He had gone one time to the ashram of Lomasha Rishi. And Lomasha Rishi was performing his bhajan in his kuti, in his ashram and in his courtyard. So this fellow went there and destroyed all the trees and created havoc over there. And after destroying all these holy trees in the ashram of Lomasha Rishi, he came in front of Lomasha Rishi, very shamelessly standing with his huge body around him. The Lomasha Rishi said, "Oh, you are so proud of your body. I curse you that you will be without this body." And as soon as he uttered the curse, the huge, powerful, strong body of this Utkacha demon, it just fell down as if the snake gives up his skin. You know, the same way the body just fell down, and he assumed a form of a ghost in Vayu Deha. So instantly, Utkacha became very humble, and he prayed and he pleaded at the feet of Lomasha Rishi, "Please forgive me and give my body back." But Lomasha Rishi said that my curse cannot be wrong or cannot be nullified. So till the end of Chakshusha Manu, you will have the body of Vayu. And then Vaivasvata Manu, his regime will start, his time will start. And when Vaivasvata Manu's time will start, 28 yugas will, Divya Yugas will pass, and in 28th Divya Dwapar Yuga, in 28th Dwapar Yuga of that Divya Yuga, Krishna will appear, and by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, you will be delivered. So thus, this particular demon Utkach is suffered in the body of a ghost for so many millions of years, and he had to wait till 28th Dwapar Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga of Vaivasvata Manu's timetable. So now you can see, Prabhupada very beautifully explains that the curse or blessings of the Brahmanas are actually all divine. They both are divine. In case of Nalakuver and Manigriva also we see, they were also cursed by Narad Muni to become trees. But then they were trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. They were waiting there for millions of years, but they were trees finally at the Nanda Bhavan. And they observed all the beautiful pastimes of baby Krishna. And then they were delivered back as pure devotees by Krishna. We know even Bakasur, he was also a demon. He was cursed by Jajali Muni to become a duck. And then he pleaded to him, and then again Krishna entered the mouth of this Bakasur, and then because of that Bakasur was delivered by Krishna. So Prabhupada says that in human life all of us need blessings of Brahmanas. Brahmanas, those who are of this quality, what is explained earlier, these kind of Brahmanas have to be in our life because they will be performing spiritual and other rituals, activities, and they will purify our lives, they will guide us, they will enlighten us with knowledge. And with their blessings, common people like you and us, you and me, they will be delivered and they will be progressing in Krishna consciousness. Also, in a very beautiful way, we have to understand that there is always a virodabhas, that is contrast in Krishna's pastimes. That Krishna has soft lotus feet, but they were acting like thunderbolt power for Shakatasura. Same way, his soft lotus feet were so soft, more soft than butter, that somebody would try to hold Krishna's feet or Krishna's body, then their fingers would meet each other. So soft he was. So the gopis and Yashodamai also would always be reluctant and hesitant and feeling shy and embarrassed to hold Krishna because they would feel that it would hurt Krishna. And gopis would cry at home, shed tears when Krishna would go barefoot to herd the cows. And they would only imagine that if the stone comes, if the thorn comes, if the pebble comes, what will happen to Krishna's feet? If it touches, Krishna's feet will become red and hurt. And with that thought, the gopis would cry. But in reality, the thorns and pebbles and stones, they would melt like butter when Krishna would walk on them. And that was proved by that lady who was guru of all the gopis. She was Sandipani Muni's auntie. She was Purnamasi Purohitani. She proved to Yashoda once at the mountain of Kedarnath in Kamevan, when she saw Krishna running on the mountain like a small naughty boy, and every single step then when he put on the mountain, it was melting, and when Krishna would lift the foot, it would become solid again, leaving behind the footprint of Krishna. So such was the quality of the feet of Krishna. But here what is concerned is very, very soft and delicate. Vishwanath Chakravarti Path says like a soft leap on the creeper, and Gopal Champu says that it was soft like butter. And when these lotus feet were dancing on the heads of Kaliya, they were serving Kaliya as thunderbolt. Gopis were wondering, oh, how soft lotus feet. But then each lotus foot, when it was falling on the head of the Kaliya, it would be expressing fire and poison in large quantity. And that would give so much pain to Kaliya. So this is the contrast. So, another point Prabhupada explains here is that Divya Moha that the cowherd boys and cowherd ladies had. Divya Moha is the divine illusion that was created by Yoga Maya. Although they were seeing and hearing everything, they were not able to believe because of the power of the influence of their love. Their madhurya was so powerful that the Aishwarya of Krishna was not visible to them. So then when Yashoda came and fed him on the breast milk, she started lamenting. She said, my 3-month-old baby, having butter-like soft body, suffered so much. Right from on the birth, within few days, a huge demoness Putana came and tried to disturb him. And now suddenly the cart broke on him and fell upon my son. Why I did not have heart attack upon hearing this? My heart is hard like Vajra. If I had been love for Krishna, I would have died hearing this. But I am still alive. It is the result of my misfortune that Putana and Shakatasur came one after another. I guess more misfortune awaits me due to the bad stars for my son, Balagraha. So she was feeling very bad and all the coward ladies were, you know, consoling her. No, no, it is not like that. You did your job, but somehow mystically all these things keep happening about this mystical baby of yours. So every time the calamity came, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you know, they always had Atmaja Abhudde Arthaya, for the purpose of their son's auspiciousness and affluence in future. Sarva Gunopeta, they would always call Brahmanas and donate milk-giving cows to them. So Brahmanas blessed the whole family, especially Krishna. Krishna was simply blissful and enjoying. Still, he accepted all the rituals done by Nanda and Yashoda, who were all in fear. They did the rituals in fear and Krishna was simply enjoying. There is another contrast, Virodhabhas, we see here, that when he was being touched by the tail of the calf, he was enjoying because he was hearing his own holy names being chanted at every single spot on his body. So it is Prabhupada explains that Krishna was very happy hearing the Sankirtan of his holy name. And everybody was so anxious and fearful about Krishna's safety, and Krishna was so happy and blissful while everything was going on. So Krishna in bliss, Nanda, Yashoda and coward men in fear, serving the Brahmanas. Krishna is simply accepting love, and activity is done with loving sentiments. Like Devaki asking him to come as a small boy. You know that Krishna was very blissful as four-armed Krishna, Vishnu in the prison house. And then Devaki said, no, you come in the form of two-armed baby. I want to feed you, I want to hide you under my veil. So Krishna was very happy to become a small boy, fulfilling the desire and order of his mother Devaki. So Krishna puts himself in apparently dangerous situation so that he can get pampered by Nanda and Yashoda. Because every single time, you can imagine, every single time something happened, there would be ceremony. There would be chanting of the mantras. There would be brahmanas. There would be donating of cows and clothes and ornaments. And a lot of big feasts would be there. There would be a lot of blessings. So Krishna would love to have, to create a situation which is apparently dangerous for him. So he can get pampered by Nanda Yashoda. He can get blessings of all the Vaishnavas. And to taste this love, he leaves Vaikuntha and he comes down all the way to the material world because he is hungry of love. So Brahmanas had good time in Braj. Similarly, when Radharani was born, same time, same thing happened. So Brahmanas had their good times in Vrindavan Dham because there is such faith in Brahminical culture. Prabhupada explains that we need to create such big band of Brahmanas. We need to create an academy of training such qualified Brahmanas who are Brahmanas by Guna and Karma, and they should be trained to be free from envy, free from judging others, free from getting disturbed by others' opulences, free from false pride. We should train them. They would, those who are clean and full of knowledge of Vedic system, and they perform Vedic rituals and become very auspicious. And the blessings when they give, Prabhupada explains that the blessings work on us when such Brahmins give the blessings and they help us to progress. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this Shakatasur, who came in the form of a Vayu Deha demon, what does he represent? He represents new and old bad habits. Interesting. I can give example to you. Old bad habit is to sleep during chanting. And the new bad habit also is to sleep during chanting. We all are experienced with these new and old bad habits. Old bad habit is to criticize relatives and friends. And same thing we continue newly also. So old and bad habits, so many bad habits are there, which are actually very much big hindrance to our spiritual life. Simply a waste of time. And they hinder our progress in Krishna consciousness, hinder our journey towards the ultimate goal of life, and they simply waste our life, precious human life. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains that Krishna, in the form of a small baby, when we invite Krishna in the heart, he destroys all these bad old and good habits. And we should pray to Krishna to kick our mind like he kicked the wheel, the spoke of the cart. And then our bad habits will come down to a crash and they will get destroyed. So it is explained that when the cart was crashed, after that everybody, all the coward men, coward women came and they put the cart back in his original shape. And they put all the pots and everything, metal and earthen pots, all up back on the cart, and the cart was reconstructed again. So what does that mean? In Krishna consciousness, we may get smashed, we may get crashed, but we have to again get reconstructed. With renewed hope, with renewed hope in saintly association, we should come back again. However many obstacles and dangers come in our life, we should not get disheartened. So many obstacles came in Vrindavan Dham, one after another. But do we ever see Nanda Maharaj despondent? Do we ever see Nanda Maharaj Yashodamai stopping their festivals? Do we ever see Nanda Maharaj Yashodamai not doing the same course like milking cows, herding cows, taking care of cows, serving Brahmanas, taking care of Krishna? In fact, it is explained that first thing when Nanda Maharaj came back, when Nanda Maharaj came back and he heard the big sound, and he came running and asked, and that was Putana's time. So Nanda Maharaj was so anxious and he came running to the lap of Mother Yashoda, where she was holding Krishna, and he took Krishna in his lap. And then what happened? He was overwhelmed to see the beauty of Krishna and every limb of Krishna. So he was feeling very blissful, at the same time feeling very fearful. He was wondering, I am so anxious and fearful, but how I am feeling so blissful? Because Krishna's body was so attractive, as you are attracting the heart of Nanda Maharaj. So what is the essence of Brajvas? What is the essence of Vrindavan life when Krishna was around? That the festivities and the happiness and the routine life never got disturbed. Although it was hindered and obstructed with big sankata, big obstructions and difficulties came. So many tribulations came. But no tribulation could stop their festivities. Their whole life was a big festivity. Constant festivities were going on. They were constantly observing Krishna, playing with him, dancing with him, singing with him, singing songs for him, dressing him, bathing him, wearing him ornaments. So many activities were going on. Why? They could happen in spite of all the dreadful difficulties. Because they were Krishna conscious. Their hearts were focused on Krishna. They were not able to take their minds away from Krishna. And because of their minds were fixed on Krishna, fully attracted by Krishna, they were always blissful. And their spiritual life always flourished and always progressed to the perfection of their life. So we should learn that our life in the material world, when we are struggling to practice sadhana and bhakti every day, it's also hindered by so many things. Like now we are hindered by corona. We thought we were free. Again we got caught up. And there is again we are in our prison of our homes. But what we should do in such cases? We should take examples of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Immediately we should start worshipping the Lord. Immediately we should start reading scriptures. Immediately we should start reading Krishna's pastimes. Immediately we should start chanting the holy name and perform the kirtan at home. Then let Putana come, let Shaktasur come, let Trinavarta come, let Akasur come and Bagasur come. All the demons will come, but they will come and go getting destroyed. Nothing can destroy our Krishna consciousness. What is most important to understand is nothing can destroy our Krishna consciousness. If we are fully focused on Krishna, Then no external calamity can distract us or destroy us or disturb us. Disturbance is only a material phenomenon. It will remain on material level. Those who are attracted to Lord and their life is immersed in Krishna, those who are absorbed, like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were always absorbed in serving Krishna, in celebrating festivities each and every time when Krishna had something change in his life. So we should see that in the 10th canto, 7th chapter, 4th verse, it is explained that as soon as Krishna turned, the festivity was, it was celebration. So Prabhupada explains that in Vedic life, children are most welcome. And as soon as children are born, there is celebration. Then children grow, there is celebration. Children do something, milestone in their life, arrive, there is celebration. So in Vedic perfect civilization, Prabhupada says that there is never pushing away children. In today's world, children are pushed away by contraceptions. They are killed by medical termination of pregnancy. People don't want children these days. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna always had been proclaiming that let the family of devotees grow. And it's a joy if we are actually in Vedic civilization, the children are welcomed. In my childhood also, there was nothing like contraception. There was nothing like Garbhapat. We are seven children. My mother never used any contraceptives. My father never used any contraceptives. Coming of children in the family were considered as a blessing. So Prabhupada says that when we welcome children and they grow, we perform ceremony of samskaras on them. And when we perform samskaras, then children grow in Krishna consciousness and they deliver not only themselves but all those who come in contact with them. So this 10th canto, 7th chapter from 4th verse to 17th verse is the beautiful description of killing of Shakatasur. And in that very, very beautiful points, Srila Prabhupada has explained about each and every activity that happened in the connection with Shakatasura. So let us now learn, take home lessons from Prabhupada's purport of this chapter. So in 10th canto, 7th chapter, 1st and 2nd verse, Prabhupada says that the root cause of material existence is hearing, talking, getting engrossed in material activities. By hearing Krishna Katha, especially Bala Leela, it will destroy the root of material existence. It will develop bhakti and asakti for the Lord. It will develop friendship with the devotees. Then the 4th verse I already explained to you. In Vedic civilization, the childbirth is never a burden. In fact, there is a joy on birth of a baby and celebration at every milestone. There are samskaras at every step which gives joy. Today in modern civilization, it's a botheration, it is postponed and it is also destroyed. And there's one more thing has come up as surrogacy. Some ladies even do not want to bear their children, their own children. They make their fertilization outside the body in the test tube and they put the fertilized living entity into some other lady's womb so that they don't lose their physical beauty. It's called surrogacy. In 10th canto, 7th chapter, 5th and 6th verse, what is explained is that every milestone there is celebration, brahmanas chanting mantras, the host worships the brahmanas, gives them ample food, grains, eatables, clothes, cows and flower garlands. There is dancing, singing and decoration and celebration. In the 7th sloka, it is explained, there is always a contradiction in Krishna's pastimes. As Vaman and Narsingadev, Sri Krishna did such a hard work. You know, there was a fight between Hiranyakashipu and Narsimhadev for such a long time. From afternoon time till evening time, the whole 14 planets were trembling in fear. And they were very anxiously forgetting everything, watching the fight, who will win. And they were so much in tension. As Vaman, small baby Vaman had to expand so big and then cover all the 14 planetary systems, 14 planetary worlds. But as Krishna, is only bliss. He enjoys. He puts others in anxiety, but he simply enjoys. And there is no effort in whatever he did in Vrindavan. Then in the next verse, Prabhupada explains that in 9th and 10th verse. Is that the demon or the ghost? They are proclaiming. So what is the explanation? They did not believe the children because of the power of Yoga Maya. And Krishna is simply enjoying what? Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So Krishna is simply enjoying Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, but everybody around him is anxiety. When one develops taste and habit of hearing Krishna Lila, one becomes transcendental to material distress. So this is the formula which Prabhupada is repeating again and again. Hearing about Krishna is a transcendental activity which puts us on the transcendental platform. Transcendental means trigunatit, beyond the three modes of material nature. In the 11th and 12th verse, they are thinking some bad planet must have haunted Krishna. Now you tell me, which bad planet can haunt Krishna? Krishna is the creator of all the bad planets or good planets. Krishna is the creator of Navagraha and the demigods and the planetary systems. But still, love, as Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Devotion, love can be in fear also. Expressed in fear. Love can be expressed in anxiety also. Love can be expressed in anger. Love can be expressed in so many negative emotions. So, whatever Yashodamai, the way she responded, we should all learn to respond like Yashodamai. She immediately took shelter of Brahmanas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every calamity which came, Prabhupada explains that she took shelter of Brahmins, performed yajnas for the pleasure of Vishnu, and she also worshipped Vishnu with auspicious items. And then I explained to you already the 13th and 15th verses in detail. And in 16th verse, donating cows is explained by Prabhupada. We all need to understand the importance of cows, maintain cows directly or indirectly in our capacity. And in this lifetime, at least one cow we should donate for the pleasure of Brahmanas and Krishna. Because cows are having power to relieve us of all our sinful activities, sinful tendencies and sinful bijas, sinful seeds in the heart. So proclivity, the seed and the actual actions and the reactions, all these are destroyed by cows. Cows free us of all anxieties, all the mental distresses. That's why in our capacity, we should donate cows in this lifetime, at least one cow. And if at all we are unable to donate cows, then as Vasudev did when Krishna was born in the prison house, he was bereft of all the wealth. So what he did, he donated 200,000 cows decorated with golden ornaments in his mind to the Brahmanas. So we should not do this if we have capacity. If we don't have capacity, then we can pray to the Lord and in the mind of our mind, decorate beautiful cows and donate to Brahmanas. Hare Krishna. So, thus this beautiful pastimes of killing of Shakatasur ends over here. And we are very fortunate to be able to hear this beautiful, unbelievable, transcendental, inconceivable Leela of the Lord. Such a small, delicate, butter-like soft baby touches his lotus feet and delivers the demon who was so heavy, who had come to destroy him by pounding the whole broken cart on his head. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Such a beautiful class. Very informative. If anybody has any questions, they can raise their hands. I can unmute them. They can unmute themselves. Yeah. Anybody has any question? Prabhuji, I have a question.
Yes.
You said the Brahmins who don't have any envy and their blessings are very useful. So in today's times, how useful are the blessings and the curses? How do they affect our lives?
Brahmana's blessings are effective today, yesterday and tomorrow. In the last yuga and many past yugas also, and today also and tomorrow also, it will be effective. This is the absolute truth. This is not changing as per the time changing. Today also there are Brahmanas who are free from envy, free from false pride, always truthful. We have to search for those Brahmanas. And some of these Brahmanas are also existing in ISKCON movement. We know so many of them who are so genuinely practicing Brahminical culture. Some of them are born Brahmins, some of them are second initiated Brahmins. And Prabhupada explains that we should train people in ISKCON. And of course, training is already going on, but he was talking about in purport that such Brahmanas' blessings are equally effective as they were effective when Krishna was around, when Lord Ram was around. We will see in the history also, when Bali Maharaj in 8th canto, and when Lord Ramchandra was born in Ramayana, we can read in when Bali, when so many places we can read that these importance of Brahmanas in life was not less stressed anywhere. Only Kali Yuga we see a dearth of Brahmanas, because Kali Yuga has begun itself by degradation of Brahminical culture. But just because it is degraded in the beginning of Kali Yuga, that doesn't mean Brahminical culture doesn't exist. It can be anytime revived by us. We should be keen on having understanding of this principle, and we should know that when Brahmanas are satisfied, such genuine Brahmanas satisfied by your wonderful gesture, they are not hungry of a donation. But when you treat them with respect and understanding, heartfelt blessings come from them. And when this heartfelt blessing come upon you, you get, what do you get? You get ease. You get ease in following your bhakti. You get freed from the obstacles, or even the obstacle comes, you get the strength to overcome the obstacles. So that's why when we perform a Simantanoyan Samskar or a wedding Samskar or a Upanayan Samskar, what is important? We call qualified Brahmanas, we call them forward, and they chant mantras and sprinkle holy waters on the head of the people who are performing the ceremony, and they utter their blessings. And those blessings are extremely important for Grahasthas like us to progress in Krishna consciousness. So they are today also equally effective. And hope we don't get any curses from them. We only get blessings. That is our hope.
And
Prabhuji,
what about blessings from, like, if not Brahmanas, like, you know, you do something good for somebody, they bless you, like your parents or your elders. Are they also as effective? And
all
as
kinds of blessings, all kinds of good wishes are making change in our life. Please understand. Even somebody is looking at you in anger, makes difference in your consciousness, affects somebody looking at you or looking at us with lusty feelings, with greedy feelings, they also affect us. We are all time vulnerable to positive and negative emotions around us. So when we do activities which attract blessings from elderly people, from parents, from older generations, from Brahmanas, from devotees, from Vaishnavas, then what is happening is the negativity gets destroyed and positivity grows. So one is Brahmanas, we should seek blessings. And second is our parents and older relatives, we should seek blessings. Our culture is such that, now I'm in Uttarkashi here, moment my assistant comes to help me, first he comes and touches my feet. I'm not qualified to do that, to accept that, but the culture is, whenever we see elderly people, we bow down and take their blessings. It is explained the bowing down action is so powerful that it invokes natural blessing, feeling of blessings in the heart of the people who we are bowing down to. And their vibration affects our consciousness to positivity. So we should always seek blessings and try to not act in a way that we may get curses or bad thoughts from others.
Any questions?
Prabhuji, can I ask?
Yes, please ask.
Yes.
Prabhuji, after the bathing ceremony of Krishna, when Mother Yashoda lied down with Krishna on the bed, and then she got busy dealing with the other people, so how did Krishna come from land in the bed to below the cart?
No. I explained in the beginning that Yashoda Mai was very busy, and there were so many people at home, and there was a lot of festivities, singing, chanting, dancing was going on, and in between Krishna felt hungry. Huh? And when he was hungry, she came and she fed the baby. And she wanted to have a quiet, undisturbing place where the baby can lie down peacefully and sleep peacefully. So she fed the baby on breast and she took the baby and climbed on that bed which was hanging at the one corner of the cart. She slept with him. Like you and my wife and all other mothers, how they put the baby to sleep after feeding. She put the baby to sleep. The baby went to sleep and then she got down the bed of the bed and she went inside the house. And because she was inside the house, she could not hear the cries of the baby. And before the boys went and wanted to tell, the baby crashed the cart. So how did the baby went on the cart? How did the baby go on the cart? Mother Yashoda herself lifted the baby, fed the baby, slept with the baby, put the baby to sleep, and she left away, went from there away.
Thank you.
Anybody has any other questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Ms. Subhash Prabhuji, do you have any questions?
Subal Gopal Prabhu. I think no, they are just some talking.
So Prabhuji, you mentioned some hindrances to our spiritual life, like sleeping during japa, exercising. If you can, you know, elaborate on some of the other hindrances also.
During japa, we are directly in war with Maya. At least we declare the war with Maya. We are supposed to be fighting with Maya. So when we fight with Maya, Maya is not going to keep quiet because she knows that other times when you are doing worldly activities, you are already in her lap. But when in the morning we are chanting, you are declaring war with her. So she throws so many obstacles. The first obstacle is that we sleep. We go to sleep during chanting. That is called jadya, alasya. Then second weapon is vikshepa. Vikshepa is distraction of the mind. Mind is thinking of so many things, you know. What happened in the hospital, what happened in the family, who said what, and I wanted this, I did not get it, I failed in exam. So many thoughts parallelly go on, many, many tracks going on simultaneously while we are chanting the holy name. So these distractions are always there. Sometimes very heavy thoughts of sensual desires come in the mind when we are chanting the holy name. Urges come in the mind of sense gratification. Very haunting urges come. So, those who are very sincere and attempting sincerely to chant, if these thoughts come, we are supposed to get up immediately and move around to break the chain of the cycle of thoughts. And again, breathe heavily and then come down. That will be something like Kapalabhati, you know. Well, what happens when we breathe heavily? The thought processes get broken. When we sit in the same place, when bad thoughts are coming, we don't change our position, what happens is bad thoughts continue with greater strength and intensity. But when we get up and breathe heavily and come back, the chain is broken. And again, we can start focusing on the holy name. So these obstacles, which are bad habits, bad conditionings of the past, can be overcome by efforts. And the most important thing to overcome these obstacles, hindrances, is by prayers. There's nothing more powerful than a prayer. When we pray to the Lord in the morning before we chant, that please help me to get saved from the distractions, to get saved from the laziness. Please help me to not get distracted. Please help me to overcome the obstacles laid by Maya. And we take shelter of Krishna, and after each round we pray to save us, because each round we'll have different obstacle coming on. 16 rounds will have 1600 obstacles coming in between. So each time we pray, we call out, Krishna, Radhe, please save me. And again we chant. We chant Haridas, Haridas in between, and we chant. So that will put us on focus during chanting. So should we end here? So we offer our most humble obeisances to Lord Krishna, who very effortlessly, Leelaya, as a simple, joyful pastime, Ananda Chinmaya Ras pastime, killed Shakatasur and gave us so much joy of reading and speaking and listening to it. Thank you so much. Sukadev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Parikshit Maharaj ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna's Mukkamal 10th canto of Bhagavatam ki jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. So next Monday we will meet again. We'll meet again next Monday.
Yes, Prabhuji. Looking forward.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.